Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, folks, and you're very welcome to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. I'm news correspondent Noel Barden, and I'll be your host for this week. We'll have news editor Amy Ford and news correspondent Rachel Donovan. There's quite a bit to get covered off this week, and most of the podcast will be on weather. The weather has been quite poor for recent months, and we've had a look at the rainfall data. We'll also cover off the effects that this is having on farmers, on fieldwork, and on fodder. Also coming up in this week's podcast, we'll hear a little bit about what soon-to-be Taoiseach Simon Harris has to say on farming issues, as well as a roundup of calf exports so far this year. So I'll take you in first, Rachel. The weather, it's there in the front page, I see, this week. What's the main points sticking out there, or what kind of figures did you have there on the front page?
Yeah, so I suppose the weather is putting a dampener on all farmers, whether it's tillage farmers trying to get field work done, or whether it's livestock farmers trying to get stock out. So I suppose they've been unable to carry out a lot of spring planting. Farmers have been unable to spread slurry, spread fertiliser. As a result, animals are still housed, and the slurry is building up underneath them, and it's putting a lot of pressure on farmers. It's not just livestock farmers and not just tillage farmers. I think everyone is really feeling the pressure. Sticking with livestock farmers, because the cattle now have been housed for so long, it's been one of the longest winters, I feel, in a long time. You know, they're hitting the back wall and the silage pits, and they're running out of bales. And I spoke to one contractor this week, and he said all the work he has for doing it is drawing bales from one farmer's yard to another. And he said while there's a lot of silage on the move, it's getting scarce. And you have farmers giving, you know, between €40 and €45 a bale for silage, and for pit silage then €65 a ton. But it's just really, it's this persistent rain and relentless rain that's causing these pressures. You know, in some parts of the country, have witnessed 50% higher rainfall, this was year on year, for the last 8 or 9 months. I think you looked at it there, Noel, you have a map on page 4, and it would brighten you to see the rainfall figures there and how much they're up. But I suppose in terms of the silage scarcity as a result, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell, convened an emergency meeting of the National Fodder Committee. So that's taking place today at 11 o'clock to, I suppose, take a look at the challenges, first of all, and maybe try and knock a few solutions together and see what they can do for farmers who are really feeling the pinch this spring.
Yeah, so I suppose there's quite a few angles there and a lot of knock-on effects from this weather. As you said, there's the fodder and the slurry. And I saw an interesting bit that you had there at the bottom of page 4. Some merchants are reporting that the demand for seed barley is up among dairy farmers.
Yeah, that's right, Noel. That's happening around the country. I suppose the reason the demand is there and the reason the interest is there and the inquiries are up is because farmers are trying to avoid the shortages faced this winter with straw. And I suppose that's not just from a bedding point of view, Noel. There's a lot of dairy farmers and finishers feeding straw And it's a huge part of the diet. So anyone that has the diet feeder there, it's a huge element of what they're feeding their cattle or cows. So I suppose they don't want to be seen in a, or they don't want to be found in a, in the same situation next year where they don't have enough straw and they're paying crazy prices for bales of straw. You know, it's making, widely it's making €35 a bale there at the minute, X yard. And I spoke to a contractor in Cork during the week, and he said that he was in a farmer's yard who brought in an Arctic load of bales of straw, and he gave €250 a ton for it. So it's amazing to think that you have straw making more than barley or, you know, grain per ton is absolutely crazy. But Joe, the feeling out there is that farmers will have extra land because of nitrates, and that they're going to put 15 or 20 acres into corn. So they have their own supplies, and they're not dependent on anyone else or any tillage farmer who is probably going to chop it into the ground with the new scheme. So they're kind of looking after themselves and putting themselves first, I suppose.
It'll definitely be an interesting one to keep an eye on as the year goes on, see if the farmers do follow through. It would be an interesting development. And as you said, nitrates might play into that decision as well. And I suppose to park up the weather there for a while, I'll head across to yourself, Amy Ford. We were speaking this week with the new leader of Fine Gael, Simon Harris, who is due to become Taoiseach. I think it'll be in about just over a week's time as we're recording this podcast on Thursday. I suppose Pat O'Toole was speaking with him. What did he have to say in farming issues and farming matters? What kind of position did he take?
Yeah, no, I suppose. So the background is obviously last weekend at the Midlands Northwest Selection Convention for MEPs, where Nina Carberry and Maria Walsh were added to the ticket for Fine Gael in that constituency in the summer elections for Europe. It was obviously, I suppose, what many are calling a coronation for Simon Harris, and that he's put in there unopposed as the leader of Fine Gael. And I suppose in his speech, he mentioned farmers a couple of times. He'd made maybe 4 or 5 sentences on farming in rural Ireland. He said to rural Ireland, we have your back. And he said that Fine Gael is a party for helping farmers, not for lecturing them. So we put a couple of questions to him this week on the farming front, and he said that he will engage with farming organisations, listen carefully to their concerns, and work closely with government colleagues to outline initiatives to support them while he is in the Taoiseach seat. He said that supporting the farming community is a priority for government, and he said that during his current portfolio as Minister for Further and Higher Education, that they've been working with farmers across the country on the climate transition. And obviously he dovetailed in there the apprenticeships that he's been working on. So there's the Chagas Gonzalez apprenticeships around the country at the minute, and obviously something that is massively there as well is the new vet school and new vet college places and wherever that goes. So he didn't reveal anything on that. I know that everyone and many of the colleges themselves that were shortlisted are gasping to find out where the new places or the new college will go. But he said that he has prioritised the establishment of those places. So look, we'll wait to see on that. I suppose 2 big issues that are impacting farmers around the country at the minute are the nitrates derogation and the nature restoration law. So we put 2 questions to him on that, and he said that he's committed to taking every action necessary to retain the derogation. He said that Ireland has been granted a derogation for a very good reason, and he said that he'd work closely with Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConlogue on that matter. And then on the nature restoration law, he said it must be something which works for farmers and not against them, and one that respects rural and coastal communities. He said that the government would continue to take farmer concerns on board in developing any associated scheme for Ireland. So we'll see if that is the case. We know that Anne O'Donoghue, our news correspondent, she has a piece on the law this week. She spoke to Billy Kelleher and Minister of State Malcolm Noonan, who said that we have our nature restoration plan. There will be one kind of anyways, regardless of the law, is what he's saying. To restore nature in Ireland. So look, it'll be an interesting couple of months ahead for Taoiseach elect Harris, I suppose we'll call him, between elections. Fine Gael obviously having a good number of long-term TDs, I'll call them, that have decided they're not going to run again in a general election, which seems now also to be pushed out. That's another comment. He said that he wants the current government to run its course. So early next year is kind of the target now for a general election potentially, but we will have local and European elections in only a couple of months' time. So I'm sure he'll be out on the campaign trail around the country there as well. So it'll be interesting to see what else he says on farming as we run into those elections.
Definitely will be a busy summer election wise, whether or not there is a general, just between those local and Europeans, as you said. So there'll be plenty to cover off now in another couple of months and in the run up to those elections. Declan O'Brien, a couple of pages back, has news that there's kind of key industry players who are considering establishing maybe a new body which would work on farming's perception among the general public. I suppose, what do we know or who's involved?
Yeah, so the background to this, I suppose, the current landscape, I'll call it, around, I suppose, is the word education for it. There's AgriWare, which focuses, obviously, on educating school kids and the wider public in general at times on everything that happens in agriculture, how things work. And then the National Dairy Council is always there as well, which works on improving the public perception of farming and food processing. But now there's talk of a new organisation which would basically bolster the public perception of Irish agriculture, and it's been actively considered by leading players in the farm and food processing sector. So this new body essentially would be tasked with countering misinformation regarding the farm sector and challenging the negative portrayal of agriculture in relation to the environment, water quality, biodiversity loss and climate change. And any farmers listening will know that they often say to us that they feel demonised online, I suppose, as well, and by people who maybe aren't as familiar with farming, that they're not doing enough on the climate front. That's what they feel like. That's what they say to us. So this body would then challenge the perceptions on that, you know, certain comments that farmers are ruining the environment, farmers are doing this, that or the other. That's what this body is supposed to tackle. So it's yet to be named. There's no name on it. It's still in the early stages, but it would highlight the importance of farming and food processing to rural communities and the economy. And it's expected to become a trusted source for all matters relating to the sector. So discussions on the formation of this new body are being facilitated by Board BIA, and it involves the main meat processors, dairy co-ops, horticultural firms and Chagask, and the IFA and ICMSA are also there in the talks there this week. There's talk that because it would be separate to AgriWare and the NDC, that it would have its own kind of secretariat and an annual budget, but there's no confirmation on those yet. So it'll be very interesting to see where it goes. And I know that the Dealer picks up on it in the paper this week as well. And the Dealer makes the point, I suppose, essentially that, you know, farmers, if farmers are going to be expected to fund this, and we don't know if they will be or not, but farmers already pay many levies. They pay an EIF levy, which helps fund the IFA, and there's a milk levies, NDC, ICMSA, that are already being paid there. And the Dealer makes the point that farmers will need convincing before putting their hands in their pockets again. So I think it'll be an interesting few months to see where this new body goes and what exactly it will do, and who will be, I suppose, who will chair it, who will be the face of it, I suppose, is something that we'd like to find out. So one to keep an eye on over the coming weeks and months.
Definitely, it would be interesting to hear what their plans are or how they plan on getting these messages out. Will they be looking to engage with the media or put out advertisements or billboards or whatever? It'll definitely be one that we'll keep an eye on over the months ahead.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, earlier this week, news reporter Tommy Moyles was talking to Board BIA's livestock manager, Seamus McMenamin, on calf exports. So we'll have a little listen now as to what Seamus McMenamin had to say.
Seamus, calf exports this year, they've been a bit slower to get going. What do you reckon is behind that?
Yeah, I know that they're, if you look at the figures there, they're back by about a third, but suppose if I take a look at the figures in the last few weeks, they've been increasing week on week. There's just been a bit of a delay, and you'll see it in the marts as well. It's been slower to come out in terms of those bigger numbers. There has been a sort of a move across the industry to present a heavier calf for sale and a more saleable calf, and that's been reflected both in sales to farmers and in exports, in that it's a better quality, heavier calf that everyone is looking for.
And I suppose we've seen the trend as well that calving has been that little bit slower. That's played into it. There was issues around the national genotyping program and getting registrations back. Has that played its part as well?
Yeah, like if you look at it, everything was 2 or 3 weeks behind where it was typically. But I suppose if you look at the registration of the dairy cows there in the last few days, we're now more or less on par where we were. So everything was a bit slower coming through, but now we've got a lot of calves on the ground, and the live export trade is just starting to kick off. But there were a few delays there with getting access to ferries and the weather and things interrupted. But I suppose in the last couple of weeks, as I said, we've seen a scaling up in terms of the numbers. So hopefully that'll continue now.
And I suppose figures didn't really, or the numbers of calves really didn't get going till that first week of March or so. It was, I suppose, bad weather impacted there at the end of February.
Yeah, we're about two weeks later usually than we typically would be. I'd say the weather, I suppose there were issues with some of the ferries being switched off routes, and then we do have increased competition for the space on the ferries with people avoiding mainland UK, but things appear to have settled down with all the ferries sort of back en route, and we'd be hoping now we'd see good numbers of calves leaving the country in the next few weeks.
How are our main markets going on the continent?
Yeah, as I suppose, look, the Netherlands would have took a lot of calves last year, nearly 110,000 they took last year, and they're sort of well back at this stage. But, you know, the feedback from the market is that there's a demand there for the Irish calf. You know, they like the health status and they like how it performs in the system. So hopefully those will pick up in the next few weeks. And then obviously then we've got Spain, that's a good market for those beef cross calves, and then a growing market also in Eastern Europe as well for those better, thicker, sort of a heavier calf.
And that Dutch market, do you see it catching up, or it's probably I know it's crystal ball gazing.
Yeah,
but
no, there's demand there from the customers, and our calves do suit their system in that they're coming available at a time when there's not necessarily a lot of calves available on the continent. So we do fit well into their system, and you know, any feedback we're hearing from customers is that they really like the Irish calves. Obviously, there's a pressure there from an NGO and a political level in the Netherlands that are very anti live exports, and it's a very visible trade seeing calves on trucks passing through. But no, I would see a recovery in the next few weeks. I suppose it's the longer term prospects for that trade that I'd be more concerned about.
And is IBR potentially an issue in that?
IBR is one issue. Funny, it's something that's come up in the last few weeks. We've seen blue tongue issues on the continent, and that kind of put the IBR delayed a wee bit. So what they're indicating to us, it'll now be 2027 before there's an IBR program in place. And once the Netherlands submits its IBR program to Brussels, that market will effectively be closed to us.
Unless
we have an IBR eradication program in place by then.
Okay, thanks, Seamus.
So that is where calf exports are standing at this stage in the year. I will go back to you now, Rachel, for our last piece on this week's podcast. You were talking to Chagas Dr. James Humphreys, who's based down in Solihull Beg, and he was talking about stocking rates and fertiliser, and I suppose how much fertiliser essentially you need to maintain fairly high levels of stocking rates. I suppose, what did he have to say, or what's his kind of position on chemical nitrogen and how low you can push it?
Yeah, well, basically, Noel, he's saying you can push it very low, and he's saying that you can easily carry, I suppose, 2.5 cows to the hectare without spreading any fertilizer. And he said that that's not a challenge at all. And he said at Solihull themselves, they're carrying 2.39 cows to the hectare because they're in derogation, and that's the current stocking rate of cows they can carry, and they're not spreading any nitrogen fertilizer. So I suppose he maintains that you can easily carry between 2.5 and 2.5 cows quite easily, and also while keeping productivity levels high, you know, and keeping your output up as well. But he is maintaining that if because of the derogation, farmers have to drop stocking rates to below 2 cows per hectare. He kind of wonders what will be done with the additional grass, and he says that there will be spare grass and spare silage. And I mentioned that earlier on about the barley seed, and that because of the derogation, farmers are going to have to rent more land, and really they might not need that for grass or silage, you know, for fodder. So I suppose he mentioned the two options if the derogation does drop, and he said it would be a pity if it dropped further. Obviously you have the option there of renting more land, or the other option is cutting your stock numbers. I suppose he didn't think this was the best way to go about using our land resources, and spoke about land sparing options and carbon offsetting and biodiversity as other options. But I suppose his main point here, Noel, was that farmers are probably using too much fertilizer. They don't need to be using as much. They can easily carry, you know, a good stocking rate without having to spread any. And I suppose he also maintained that this reduction in fertilizer in order to reduce greenhouse gases doesn't have to be, I suppose the it's not only up to the dairy farmers to do this. He said the onus is also on beef farmers to cut how much nitrogen they spread. And he said it can actually be easier done on beef farms than it can on dairy farms in a lot of cases. And he just threw out a few figures, and he said that 57% of nitrogen fertilizer is used on dairy farms, but there's still a substantial proportion of 33% used on beef farms. And I suppose maybe people don't realize that there is as much spread or applied on beef farms in comparison to dairy. So I suppose, yeah, he said that reducing fertilizer is the low hanging fruit in order to cut our greenhouse gas emissions, and I suppose meet our climate targets essentially.
Yeah, and I suppose when it comes to farmers on the ground, I suppose even though they might not like it, at least if fertilizer application limits were reduced, there is some sort of a workaround, as Humphrey suggested. Whereas if it is a stocking rate limit, there's not a whole lot you can do to work around that other than exporting slurry or finding new land, neither of which is too easy.
Yeah, and I know it's probably a bit ironic, Noel, talking about cutting fertiliser use this spring, because there has never been as little fertiliser bought or spread on land because of, I suppose, the weather. And, you know, we speak about it most weeks on the podcast. Now we didn't this week, but I suppose that there are more pressing issues than getting fertiliser out this week, like slurry or whatever. But there has never been as little fertiliser spread. And speaking to sales reps during the week, they may as well be back at January sales wise, you know, they've made no progression to sell or get farmers to spread fertilizer, which it's all well and good cutting, saying you can cut fertilizer, but it obviously is needed to some extent on farms, and you'd hope that it's not felt later on in the year with poor crops of silage or poor grazings. But yeah, I suppose just to kind of shoehorn that in there as well, the fertilizer sales still aren't taking off around the country. Still very, very quiet on that end, and could all come to a head now. It's a nice day here today, and they're talking about high pressure coming in next week. But the advice from merchants was that farmers could be waiting two weeks for their fertiliser. So it's because they're all kind of going to be leaving it to the last minute. But yeah, so I suppose that's the story with the fertiliser.
Yeah, so a couple of interesting points there from Humphreys anyway. And as you said, kind of like a good week could do a lot. I suppose farmers might think there's a lot of doom and gloom on the weather front, but one good week of weather could help turn quite a lot around. And I suppose with that said, we'll wrap up this week's podcast. You can get more on all the stories we've chatted about over the past 20 minutes or so in this week's Irish Farmers Journal, which is on shelves now. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.